Thank you, Lord. We are in such an awesome time to watch all the things that are happening. And there is what we call an awakening. More and more and more people are becoming awake, but some people are still asleep. And when we begin to understand, you know, the true reality of awakening, because we are going to come to a final awakening. Everyone say final awakening. And in that final awakening, it is going to be so supernatural. And in that, it's not just an awakening of here, it's an awakening of every dimension, of everything. Again, we'll be reconnected to past, present, and future. God did not create us to be bound in one area, one dimension. We're to be free with Him. I'll never forget, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision, but I was floating up above the earth, and the earth was round. What can I tell you? And I was with a group of angels. They extended from the right to the left, all the way. I couldn't see the end of them. And the Lord was standing next to me. And He looked at me, didn't say a word. It was almost like Him saying, watch. And He began to take His hand like this. And He began to roll up like you roll up a scroll. And next thing I saw, all the stars, the earth, all the planets, everything be rolled up. It just got ripped away from everything. There was rolling up the whole, all of you, everything, all of the Milky Way, everything was being rolled up into Him. And as He rolled it up and rolled it up, He looked at me again. And when He got done, there was nothing. It was darkness. The only things that were left were me, the angels, and the Lord. And He said to me, next time I unroll my new creation, you'll be with me. And we'll see it all. All new. All new. See, our little peanut brain has such a hard time with everything here. You know, there are things that we can't even comprehend. But only in the Spirit can we grasp some of them and touch some of it. But we can't get it all. It's almost like you touch some of it and there's a little bit, and it's like, gone, then gone. But that's how it is here. We can't get the fullness of everything. We can only get pieces. But we can take those pieces and expand them, investigate them, what God has given us. Would you turn to the book of Ephesians 1 in verse 3? You know, the Word of God, the Bible, is a door. It's a dimensional door. And when you begin to, I don't know how to explain it, but I guess when you begin to read in it or read through it, you can begin to see other things happen. In verse 3, let's speak it. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Think about that for a second. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That means we're there and here. Come on now. Just as he chose us in Him before what? The foundations of the world. So we were with Him before anything was created here. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. We are blessed every spiritual blessing. Blessings, unseen, and in other words, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Heavenly places, things that are unseen, are available for me and you. He chose us in him before the reality began. This reality. We are predestined. What are we predestined as? His offsprings. To be what? Transformed into his likeness, into his image. This is predestined. We are there in spirit. Where? Home. Heaven. We are conceived in darkness. Not of this reality. We're conceived in darkness. We can't even figure that out. We are born out of time. What is time? It's the keeper of God's will. We're manifested in this reality. And what are we reaching for? Our final awakening. Oh, glory. I'm going to repeat this. I know it went over some of us. It kept going over me until I had to do it about a few times. Come on, what? Again, we are there in spirit. We're conceived in darkness because it's not of this reality. Unknown. We are born out of time, which is time is the keeper of this will, of God's will. We are manifested in this reality. So again, we're conceived in darkness and born out of time. In other words, we're not, I know the word tells us we're not born of blood and so forth, we're born out of God's will, which is God's time, isn't it? Amen? Which is the keeper of his will. And we are manifested in this reality, which we live in right now, even though we're here and there at the same time. And what are we reaching for? Our final awakening. Our final awakening. Which will bring us all together in one place with no time, no past, future, only a present of glory. In Genesis chapter 2, start at verse 18. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him." Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave the names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper compatible to him. Now think about this. Right now Adam was with the Lord. He was here. It wasn't the same reality as was when he was there. Because the reality shifted when sin took over. And here's the Lord telling them, okay, here's an animal. Here, make this. I don't want you to be alone. So he named all the animals. So Adam became a zookeeper before he became a farmer, you know. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. It said deep sleep, not just sleep. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then a rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now check this out. Deep sleep. Adam was put in a deep sleep in his reality at that time. Amen. To awaken in another reality. When Adam awoke in this reality, the first thing he saw was a honey-do list. He had to complete, but it was a God list to complete. Amen? But still attached to the spiritual home in a deep sleep. Through time, what was he trying to do? Now, God was changing things up for Adam. But, you know, because we're blessed home, we're there and we're here at the same time, it's hard for our brains to comprehend this. But Adam was born of God from the dust, breathed by the Spirit, born again of the Spirit. But when God put him in the deep sleep, it altered everything. Adam woke up into a new reality. Why? He had a wife. He didn't know what a wife was. Everything changed. There were animals walking around. Everything changed. And the Lord said, "Come on, I want you to take care of this garden." Yeah, like he needed a gardener. All of this was a preparation and training to be restored back home. Everything here is training everything to be restored back home where we're actually really at. I know this is crazy. Yes, but this look at every reality is real. There's pain. There's death. There's life. There's poverty. There's riches. There's war. In all of these realities, there's feelings, but there's one reality where it's never affected, and that's home. Amen? It's never affected at home. Oh, hallelujah. Again, born out of time to reach our final destination and reach our final awakening, to be restored. Did you ever see those, sci-fi flicks, they got to travel for 20 years or 80 years, and they put them to sleep like in a coma or some kind of state of sleep until they get there so they don't age and everything. It's almost like that's how we are at home, but we're not asleep. We're waiting for the final awakening on this side to be joined home. Psalm 17. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, you know the enemy's going to try and mess with you every way, in any way he can, because that's his job. In Psalm 17, verse 10. They have closed up their fat hearts, with their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth. As a lion is eager to tear his prey, and a young lion lurking in secret what places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. But as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I what? Awake in your likeness. That's the final awakening. Why? Because we will have that final awakening and be home. Awaken your likeness, all training for final destination and final awakening. That's what this is all about. You know, I continue to go back to my visitation with the Lord when everything first happened in my life. Well, when I got a new life. And everything to me was, the reality was everything was temporary here. I didn't belong here. I looked at everything and said, you're temporary. I'd lean against a tree and say, man, it's going to disappear one day. That's how my thought pattern was. Because when I had the visitation with the Lord, I was no longer here or a part of this place. I was not of this world. I was taken. I was abducted, not even knowing what was what. But I met the great love that created all things. And I was certainly a new creation where old things pass away and all things become new, because everything that I did wrong in this life, I didn't do. Because it wasn't me. I was two different people now. There was another one that was my old man, but I was a new person, literally brand new, like a child being born, brand new. And even when I had to go back to court and I was facing a mandatory 4-year prison term, mandatory, I really wanted to tell the judge it wasn't me. And of course, Holy Spirit said, shut up. He said, be quiet. They'll lock you up. I'll take care of this. And on a mandatory 4-year prison term, I walked out of that place and did 2 years probation. And again, for me at that time was the reality. It was so strong. And now it's worn off, and I have to fight for it every day. Every day I got to fight harder than I've ever fought to maintain that position and maintaining that reality that I'm not out of this world. I'm from an eternal family. I'm there but here, and I'm fulfilling the will of God, what I'm supposed to do as a mission and a training purpose so that I can go home. And we can all be one in the Spirit, offsprings of His glory. And roll up this place, man, and get out of here. And go to the next one, you know, whatever God is. You know, it's because we are so limited. We're limited by knowledge. We're limited by technology. We're limited by the things that we've been programmed in this whole life. We're limited because of the things we hear, the music we hear, the TVs we watch, the programs, and all of the, we're limited. But there's so much beyond all of that. You know, because there's technology much higher than mankind. There's much higher than AI. And God is that technology. And there isn't anything He can't do when you put your trust in Him. When we realize that we're not of this place anymore, we are spiritually blessed in heavenly places. Everything, that means everything that we need is already set aside for us. But the way we live in this reality, either shuts the door to the enemy or opens the door to the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And God warned us about it. That's why we go through all this stuff. Everything here is a training. What do you do with your time? What do you do with your money? Everything's a training. He wants to know if kingdom is first. Is kingdom first? Yeah, we got to live in this place. We got to go to work. We got to do things. But then there's another area. What's your passion? Is your desire God's presence? Are you desiring to please him? See, all of these things is a part of the training. Amen? Everybody okay? Psalm 139 and verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am what? Still with you. Where is he talking about that? Not here. When I awake, where? My final awakening, I'll be there. That's what I'm saying. He's still with me. You're still there. Oh, glory. Oh, that you should slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. Count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of what? Everlasting. And wake in your light, and it's all training for final destination. And finally, in other words, when I wake, I am still with you at home. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and a firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals what? Knowledge. You know, think about this. We have to sleep. Everybody's got to sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, your flesh takes over. Because we are still a spirit connecting to our spirit. So we have to sleep to regenerate, to get revived again. And God releases knowledge to me and you while we sleep. You don't remember it. It's stored in the spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one who knows where it's at and when to pull it up. Now, we have dreams and visions that speak to us. Amen? Because God can't sometimes, it's hard. Sometimes people don't get it while they're awake. Because they're too involved in this world. But he says it reveals knowledge night after night. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. It's rising from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from his heat or his presence. The law is what? Perfect. His words are perfect. What's it doing? It's converting your soul here to what? Be transformed to him. To be converted to him. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring, forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honeycomb and the honeycomb. Yeah, honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is what? Is warned. And keeping them there's great reward. What's the great reward? Awakening in his image. Awakening in his likeness. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me, O Lord, from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, or the focus of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, when he talks about meditation here, it's not somebody going, you know, the yoga stuff and Buddha stuff. That's not meditation. The meditation he speaks is focus, focus, focus. Hallelujah. We awake, I'm still with you at home. Yes. Is everybody okay? Psalm 19, verse 1. Ooh. Do we do that? Yeah. Good. 1 Corinthians, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also we received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you what? If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. So he's saying to man, you're going to hold on. If you hold on to what you've learned through the word and put it to use, you're going to make it. What are you going to make? Your final destination? And final awakening. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep or gone home. After that, do you notice he said, didn't die. They've fallen asleep. Because it's almost like they're in a state of waiting. Then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of time. Born out of what? Time, not born. See, he wasn't born of man or by anything. He was born out of time, which is totally different. What's time? It's the holder of God's will. Woo! I go on and on, but I'm not going to. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Boy, did he sin, didn't he? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me, which with me. Therefore, whether it was or I or they who preached, and so you believed. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if this life, and in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, but by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. but the end of each one his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end of all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is what? Death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all and in all, and that all things will be one again. Hallelujah. We are born out of time, not of this time. Psalm 51, let's start at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother did what? Conceive me. Behold, you desire truth where? In the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Why? Because that's the changing. That's the converting of the soul. Hallelujah. We are conceived in darkness, regenerated inward parts of his likeness through trials, through challenges, through emotional distresses. Job 33, verse 14. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their what? Their instruction. So what's he telling you? While you're sleeping, he's giving you instruction. In order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with strong pain in many of his bones, so that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food. His flesh wastes away from sight and his bones stick out, which once were not seen. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit and his life to the executioners. Nice. Again, how does he speak to us? Through your sleep. He grants us, he seals instruction to us, seals our instructions while we sleep, to sleep spiritually and physically. Again, we still have a hard time comprehending sleep. I deal with it all the time. I'm not one that likes to sleep. But when I sleep, I like it. Everything is nothing. It's finally entered my nothing box. But then there's instruction. There's things that happen. Things get weeded out as you begin to go deeper and deeper in your sleep. Things that you were watching begin to get weeded out. Things that you were reading, things that get weeded out. All of a sudden, you're in a place where it's different. You can't remember, because instructions are granted. And if you remember, then the enemy will steal those instructions. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3. Well, how's the enemy steal your instructions if I remember? Because he knows what you're thinking. Many people don't believe that. That's why I ask people, do you ever have an argument in your mind? Who do you think you're speaking to? Do you remember when you're out there using drugs and alcohol and one tried to entice you all the time? Or you're trying to quit cigarettes? And that voice comes up, oh, just one more. Or nobody will see. See, when that's how the enemy operates. He did that to Eve. Nobody will see. Oh, glory. Why? Because no true relationship with God. And that's the bottom line, no true relationship. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Through the washing of what? Regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That happens every time you go to sleep. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs and according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonishment, knowing that such a person is what? Warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Oh, hallelujah. Being self-condemned. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with what? Greediness. But you have not so learned what? Christ. Many people have not learned Christ yet. They call themselves believers. They've been believing, saying they're Christians for the last 30, 40 years, and they still ain't got it. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your what? Former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Romans 8:16. They've not learned Christ, or they've not learned to exchange their life for the life of Christ. Romans 8:16. Hallelujah. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's us. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. What are they waiting for? Not only a glorified body, but the final awakening. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. And I'm going to close at Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I will not allow your foot, he will not allow our foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So God don't sleep, you know. We do. But at home, we don't sleep. I don't mean at your home. I mean up there. Always awake. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forward. And even forevermore. For it is written, for it is spoken, and so shall it be. Amen. Praise God. Drawing near, final awakening. Oh, yes. And when we will awaken in his image and likeness. Glory to God. Lord, seal what we've received from you today. Help us to comprehend more and expand on it. Help us to grow, get us stronger, and to see deep things, Lord. We want more prophetic insight of what's happening so we can be about your business in true spirit and power and be a sign and wonder to the world. And may your name be glorified in everything we do, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.